This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 186.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey guys, if you're joining us again, welcome back to another masterclass episode here. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for the opportunity and allow me to deliver the value and the content that you're here seeking. So I'm so pumped about this podcast that I have coming up here with Greg Helbeck because we decided to make this a two-part episode podcast series. Greg is somebody who, he's from Monroe, New York, full-time wholesaler and investor operating in New York, and just recently got into the Texas market. What's really cool about Greg is that he hasn't been in the business all that long, only about 2.5 years. But the guy has just completely mastered the sales process. And, you know, a while back, he got involved with John Martinez and went through John Martinez's sales training, and now actually works side by side with John, helping other wholesalers and investors convert more essentially leads to appointments and appointments into contracts. And so, you know, he's doing about 2 to 3 deals a month. And in this particular episode, part one, you're going to hear about Greg's story, how he got started in the business, how he's been able to, you know, get to from where he was a complete newbie to now doing 2-3 deals while still going to college, because he's still in college. And then we also get into a mock role play of an inbound lead. So a motivated seller calls him. We get into, you know, just a mock sales call. And then after, he breaks down the sales process that he took the seller through, the framework. You understand the psychology, how he framed and set up certain things. And so that's what we're going to cover on part one here. And I think you're going to get a lot out of this particular episode, especially if you're working with private sellers. And by the way, this, you know, the psychology and the framework is something that can be applied to anything, not just real estate. It just happens to be on this particular episode and in this role play, we focused on an inbound call from a seller who inherited a property. So let me know what you think about this, but I'm excited for you to listen to this episode. What's going on, my friends? I can't tell you guys how excited and pumped I am about today's masterclass with my boy, Greg Helbeck. Greg, what's going on, man?
Hey Alex, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, and it's great to have you on, primarily because, you know, through social media and just through my network, it's sometimes you kind of see the people that are just rising in this business. You know, you see them from afar and what they're doing, and it's been really impressive to just watch your growth and maturation as an investor, as an entrepreneur, the last 2-3 years. And I know you and I have been, you know, working a little closer together through the sales training, and it's just awesome to see what you've been able to do in a short amount of time. So hats off to you.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a fun journey. And, you know, I just try to get up every day and get a little bit better and keep staying focused on my goals.
Yeah, buddy. That's the idea, man. It's all about, you know, I've mentioned this in previous episodes. It's about waking up today better than you were yesterday and striving to wake up tomorrow better than you were today. So I think that's the mindset we all have to have. But so, man, start us off kind of the beginning. I know we were talking, you know, a few minutes ago before we started recording. So you got into this business at 2015. Take us from like that point to where you are now. Maybe we'll take a couple of minutes if you can just kind of give people an overview of how you ended up in this business and where you are today.
Awesome. So yeah, so I got started in this business around two and a half years ago in 2015. I was playing competitive hockey in New England, and I tried to actually go up to Canada and play. And I wanted to play in college and at the highest level possible. And it didn't work out. The hockey thing didn't work out. So I realized my quote unquote dream at the time was to do that. And it came to an abrupt stop. So I took my first year off of college to play hockey. So basically I got cut from a team, came home, and I really did not know what I was going to do. I had no college, you know, I was behind a year in college. So I enrolled in a local community college near my house, and just really was kind of doing a lot of thinking. I was pretty upset with the whole way hockey worked out. It was really kind of depressing for a little bit. I just didn't know what I wanted to do because I was so focused on that, and I put all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So went to school, started community college, and I was thinking like, okay, I'm going to school now, but I need to figure out what I actually want to do, right? So always knew I kind of wanted to, build wealth and kind of live life a little more differently than the regular crowd, just because I've always kind of thought ever since I was like a little kid, I didn't want to be like everyone else. I want to be a little bit different. So I always knew real estate was a real good vehicle to create financial freedom. And I just really didn't know what to do. So I ended up going to school for a couple months, and then I started going on YouTube and watching videos on people talking about buying property with no money and, you know, flipping paperwork, and it was just interesting to me. So yeah. I always had that in the back of my head. You know, everyone kind of gets that bug. And ironically, I got a postcard in the mail. There was a seminar in town, and it was one of these, you know, big companies coming in city by city doing trainings. And me and my partner ended up attending that seminar. I was 20 years old. So it was two years ago now.
Yep.
Yeah. So went to the seminar, didn't know what to expect. I was completely broke. I think I had like $1,000 in my bank account or something like that, or $2,000. I forget, not a lot of money at all. Came off of hockey. And we ended up signing up for this training, this 3-day boot camp, and I spent all the money in my bank account. So I basically cleaned out my account, spent the money, went to a boot camp training, and because I put skin in the game, I took it seriously. So basically went to that 3-day boot camp, got really pumped up, thought it was going to be super easy, and went out and started taking action, and just really, really, really struggled for 9 solid months. I didn't make a single dime. I was going out to sellers' houses and making offers and doing all kinds of stuff, but I really wasn't focused and I had no experience. So it took me about 9 months to get my first deal, which I did with a local mentor. And then after that, I did another one and another one, another one. And then I started consistently doing deals because I was consistently marketing. And now 2 years later, we're doing 2-3 properties a month now in New York, and I'm actually entered into a virtual market down in Texas where since January we got, 3 properties locked up.
Awesome.
In the first six weeks. So we're looking to we're expanding into another market now. So a lot different than what it was about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And let me tell you, one of the things that I find just extremely impressive about you that you mentioned to me earlier is that, I want people to hear this. You've been able to do this while you're still in college, right?
Yes, full-time college student doing this.
So before we get into how you've been able to do that, because I think, there's probably a segment of the audience that listens to the show that, they might not be in college, right? But they're in a job. And so I definitely want to kind of get into how you've been able to manage, the workload as a student with being able to build a business to the point where now you guys are doing 2-3 deals a month. You're getting into a new market now. But before we do that, I definitely want to highlight some of the things that you said and really just to hone in on that, because, it's very, it's interesting to me. Your journey is very similar to mine, except you were a lot smarter about it. Because one of the things I heard is you said you decided to pay. And I've always said, when you pay attention, right? And so you not only did that, but you started doing some deals with the local mentor. Like for me, it took 2-3 years before I finally decided to pony up some money and invest in myself and hire someone. And I feel like if I would have done that early on in the process, I would have not only avoided so much brain damage, but I would have saved a lot of money. I would have saved a lot of stress in the process. And I just would have shortcutted the process a whole lot quicker. But I find, and I know you're working with a lot of people now, I find that sometimes people are just reluctant to do that. So maybe if you could just talk a little bit about, how that propelled you to where you are now. It sounds like you were someone that you were always willing to invest in yourself. You recognized the power in hiring a mentor, but I think that's something that a hurdle that sometimes people can't get through. So maybe if you could just kind of talk a minute or so about what that was able to do for your success.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the first real journey I had, the first real part of the real estate journey was spending $1,000 to go to a training for 2 days or 3 days. And that was a lot of money for me, you know, as a 20-year-old. I mean, it was basically my whole bank account. I was completely broke after that. I mean, it was definitely really uncomfortable, you know, having to worry about money like every day. You couldn't really pay for anything. So after that, I mean, I just, the thing is, when you pay attention. I took it seriously. I was really emotionally involved at that point because I knew that I spent the money to actually make this business work. And the first thing is that even though I spent the money, I made the decision in advance that I was going to make this business work and I wasn't going to become a statistic. Because I know that, you know, you have 200 people go to a seminar and half the people don't take any action. And I made the decision beforehand that I was going to make this work. So when the going got tough, I made the decision it was going to work anyway. So I programmed my head to say, this is going to work. It's going to be hard, but it will work anyway if I just keep being persistent. So yeah, definitely getting the education beginning was big because we got a lot of good information that was, you know, it was at our fingertips. You know what I mean? We got really good information from that boot camp. They gave us a lot of insight. And then in terms of, you know, getting a local mentor. So what I did actually was, you know, I really struggled in the beginning. I just no experience, but I had, you know, we were still taking action and I ended up, what I did was instead of, you know, I've had coaches and mentors, and they're super helpful when you can hire a coach to really shortcut your way to success. So I've done that. And then I've also, so in the beginning it was, I just found a local guy in my market who was doing deals. I actually found two of them and I added value to them by helping them out in their business by doing some of the lead management and doing some boots on the ground for them. So I added value to them. And then in return, they added value to me by teaching me a little bit about the business and partnering with me on deals. You know what I mean? So I tried to go out and provide value to someone who was you know, more advanced than me in the business in exchange for some mentorship and coaching. So that's what I did. And I would just, you know, cold call investors and be like, hey, I'm new and, you know, I want to meet for coffee. And somehow I convinced them to meet me for coffee. And then we had a conversation and then all of a sudden, we did some business together. So, and now they're still some of my best friends today and we still do deals together. I just did a deal with one of my mentors, you know, last month and everyone made a ton of money. So it's all about just providing value and kind of helping the other person. And then when you're helping the other person, they're going to help you in return. So all about that law of reciprocity.
Yeah. Greg, you're so far ahead of your time. I wish that when I got started in this business at 25, I would have recognized exactly what you just said, is that it's all about adding value to other people. As opposed to, I think what a lot of people do is they approach you with their hand out like, hey, help me, you know, I need your help. But you approached it in a completely different way. It's, hey, let me add value to you. And, you know, if it's reciprocated, fantastic. And if it's not, you probably didn't expect it, but you were still genuinely willing to add value. And that's why I think that's a real big part of why you're at, you know, where you're at today.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's the thing. In the beginning, I had that kind of selfish mindset and it still happens to me to this day. But now I really try to make the shift in my mindset. This is for anything. This is for real estate, for anything. It's like add value and give value to the other person. And then when you do that, it will automatically come back to you. And just kind of having that mindset shift, because sometimes when stuff doesn't work out, I tend to get, you know, get selfish and greedy and, you know, but I try to now always approach, provide value to that other person and you can control that for the most part. And then in return, they'll give it back to you. So
yeah,
that's how I like to think now.
Very cool, man. So, at what point, and guys, if you're not following Greg on social media, we'll include a link to his Instagram and maybe even Facebook. But I learned about Greg through John Martinez. So if you guys have been listening to the show for any length of time now, I interviewed John Martinez and we specifically like really dove into sales. And I absolutely loved his philosophy, his training style. And so about a year, maybe 15 months ago, I put my team through John's REI Sales Academy. And then recently, or I don't know how far back, John brought you on board. And now Greg has been working, you know, directly with John and helping other people when it comes to sales. And, you know, everybody talks about generating leads, but just now, I think people are starting to understand the importance of the conversions, right? So you have a bunch of leads come in, but do you know how to speak to these people? Do you know what to say or what to listen out for? And so talk a little bit about your journey as you connected with John and then how things have been going since you guys started working together.
Yeah. So with the whole sales thing, I mean, I you know, in the beginning when I started, it was just kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I was just taken enough action to where like the law of averages was just working out in my favor. I was getting deals here and there, but there was no system. You know, I was going in front of sellers and I was just kind of just winging it. And because I went on enough appointments or made enough offers, just I ended up getting deals that way. But basically, I got to the point where I was just basically, I was in meetings and sales calls where I wasn't controlling the outcome. And I just really felt lost in communication with a customer.
Yeah.
So I found out about John through another podcast and listened to some podcasts where he was interviewed. And I really liked what he had to say about sales because, you know, our approach is really like not the conventional sales you'd think were like, you know, you're grilling people to close them and you're forcing stuff down their throat. And, you know,
it's the people complete have that opposite. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They have, you know, people have that bad picture in their head about salespeople, like, oh, they're going to put pressure on you, and it's the slick back guy selling snake oil and all that stuff. It's not like that. So, got hooked up with John, joined his training, and you know, joined the REI Sales Academy, and really, like I said, it's the second thing. I mean, in the beginning of my real estate journey, I made the decision I was going to be successful in real estate. So I made the decision in advance it was going to work out. Same thing. I did the same exact thing with sales. So I, you know, I spent good money to join John's training and get his coaching and mentorship, you know, because once again, when you pay attention.
Yep.
I made the decision before I got into that training, I'm going to get ridiculous at sales. I said, this is going to work out. I'm going to get really good at sales. I'm going to put the work in every day to get good at sales. I'm going to study this. And this is going to be a skill that I'm going to have for the rest of my life that's going to make me more valuable. And, you know, the more value I can add to someone else, the more, you know, value is going to come back to me. So got into the training and really just turned around and just started taking it in and studying it and applying it right away and going out to sellers' houses and screwing stuff up and saying it the wrong way and being nervous. And eventually just really started to hone the system. And I really started to understand that the more I would go through the training and rinse and repeat the content and make mistakes and learn from John directly, you know, we'd get on the phone and we'd Voxer and email and everything. So pretty much me and him were just, we were going back and forth so much on Voxer. And we really started to form a relationship that way because I really liked the sales stuff and he saw that I really enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed the process. So what ended up happening was I started to pretty much record my, like I would take my sales calls and I'd record myself at properties and I would actually like listen to my sales calls and I would like, cause that's how I really started getting good. I would listen to myself in a sales appointment and I'd like see what questions I was asking. And then I would like review it and be like, oh my God, no wonder I didn't close this person. I didn't ask the right questions. I was following the system incorrectly. So then I started taking those sales calls and breaking them down on the internet for people to listen to. Cause I wanted to provide value to other people. Right. Mm-hmm. And, started doing that. And then John kind of saw that. And he kind of, you know, connected with me and we decided now we're working together on some new projects we have going on. And so that's kind of how I ended up getting into the sales training business now, too, on top of real estate.
Amazing, man. So that's just one small example of what happens when you start to provide value and you start to put out great content and you genuinely want to help people. So many doors and opportunities open up to the point where now not only are you working directly with your sales mentor, but I'm sure people are coming to you. You know, your network is expanding. And by the way, that's how you and I are on this podcast. You know what I mean? And now you're adding value to my audience and people are going to reach out to you. And it's all this, like, it's all connected, right? And it all stems from just genuinely wanting to help and add value. And that's the reason I launched this podcast year and a half ago or whenever it was, is to do that. And so it's another reminder that if you just kind of have that servant's heart and you just want to like put good stuff out there and help people, forget about what you want. It's going to happen. It's going to come to you, you know? So, I started listening to some of your sales call breakdowns that you were posting on Facebook and I would send them to my acquisition managers who now, you know, cause you're working with them.
Yeah.
And I would say, hey, Elizabeth, Leo, listen to this kid, Greg, he's got this stuff down, like listen to him. And they've gotten better as a result. So yeah, man, it's been very cool to watch, how you've really taken a liking to the sales process and how you've mastered it and how you continue to get better at it, you know? So just super cool.
Yeah, no, I really like the sales stuff and I just want to hit once again on, you were just talking about value and you know, it's after 2 years, I'm starting to realize this because in the beginning, I'm not perfect at all, but I was so selfish in the beginning about making money. Like I was so concerned about making money. I just was like, I was like chasing money and money was running away from me. And now I try to have it because I hear the guys talking like, provide value, the money will come, solve a problem, the money will come. So now, like, whether I'm buying houses over the phone in Texas or I'm doing sales training, like, approach it with like, I'm going to add value to this person and solve their problem. And then when you do that and you approach it with that mindset, for some reason, the money ends up showing up. So I have to really condition my mind to think like that, because sometimes I do get, you know, I get, you know, oh, I'm not making any money or whatever, but I just try to approach it with a service mentality. How can I serve others? And when I can serve others and truly provide value and solve their problem, you know, the money will come back in my way.
Yeah, brother. I think back to a conversation I had with Leo, one of my acquisitions managers, like 4 or 5 months ago, and he was having some challenges and he wasn't converting to where we wanted him to convert. And we started to have a conversation and I realized he was so focused on converting and getting the contract that it almost, he was so in his head thinking about what he was going to say or respond to the seller that he just wasn't listening to the seller. And I said, hey man, here's what I want you to do. Forget about the contract. Forget about converting. Focus on the seller. Just try to help them. Figure out if we're even a right fit for them. And I want you to really just kind of let that resonate. I don't care about the conversion right now. Just focus on the seller. And that simple mindset shift, you know, and he came back on his next three or four appointments, he got like half of them. Whereas that wasn't the case prior to that. And it's because I really believe it was just a mindset shift. He took the pressure off as far as the conversions. And he was just now listening to the seller. And you know, he still continues to get better and better. But if you just have that mindset, you know, I think your results are going to come over time. So
100%. Couldn't agree more. Sales is just closing a sale is just the natural outcome of doing the right sales process. And when you follow the process, if the deal is closable, it will get closed. And so that's Greg, the big thing with sales, just following that process.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off there, man. But 100% agree with you. I think this is probably like a perfect... I don't know. Are you game for doing a little bit of a role play here? Like, you know, this won't be a half hour, hour long sales call or anything. Maybe if we can devote, you know, 5 to 10 minutes and maybe just do like a little mock role play here. I know you do this a lot with your partner. I think people would get a lot of value out of this.
Absolutely. I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love the mock negotiations. I love all that stuff. So I'm 100% down.
Okay, perfect. So I'll just be your, I'll try to be an average seller. I'm not going to be too difficult, but it's not going to be a layup either. So we'll just kind of go with the flow. I haven't been a motivated seller before, but I'll do my best to just kind of, and that way you can highlight what exactly the sales process is. And then for those of you listening, what we'll do is after Greg and I finish this mock sales call, we'll kind of go back and then Greg can dissect it and break down, okay, well, here's the framework that he was following. Maybe a little bit of the psychology behind it. Cause when I did this, I did a similar mock role play with John Martinez back when I had him on the podcast. I got so much feedback from that. And I know that, just again, Greg has mastered this process. So I think you guys will get a tremendous amount of value from it. So, okay, cool.
Awesome. Man. Well, and just real quick before we start this.
Yeah.
What do you want to do in terms of like, are we doing an inbound lead? Are we doing me at a house, me buying over the phone? Like what situation do you want to do? A negotiation, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah. You know what, man? If I think what I'd like to do, Greg, is why don't we do both, but we'll just do like a modified version. So why don't we do an inbound lead where, you know, I'm calling in from a postcard I received. And, you know, this will probably be, I'm guessing, maybe a 5-minute conversation. And then we'll do, maybe what we'll do is we'll do an in-person call or an in-person appointment, but we'll kind of... Sure. You know, we'll play it by ear. It's not going to be a long call. We'll keep it short, but so that people can understand and see what the framework and the process looks like.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Sounds good. Okay, cool. So, I'm not going to tell you what my situation is, obviously, because you don't know before when that phone rings. So, let's just roll into it. So I'm calling you. I received one of your postcards.
Awesome. Awesome. So, ring, ring, ring.
So hi. Yes. My name is Alex. I received this postcard, but I've been receiving a lot of these lately and my house isn't really for sale, but because I keep getting these postcards, I'm just, you know, I'm starting to, what can you offer? Like what's this all about? Do you see my house online for sale or something?
Yeah, sure, sure. Hey, you probably got some questions for me. You're probably like, you know, what are these guys doing? How much can they offer the house? You probably got a bunch of questions for me. So, hey, I just wonder if you had 5 or 10 minutes to chat. I promise I'll answer all those questions. If this is something that we can do, I have a few questions for you, if that's okay. And then, hey, at the end of this call, I'll let you know based on our conversation what we can do in terms of the next step, if there even is one. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, I've been getting a bunch of these and I started to wonder if somebody like put my house for sale or something, but I don't know. Yeah. I'm just now that it's in my face, I'm kind of curious what you might be able to offer.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. No, I get it. So yeah, I mean, you mind just breaking down the property address real quick?
Yeah, sure. It's 123 Main Street and this is in Miami, Florida.
123 Main Street. Awesome. And then just your first name, sir?
Yeah, it's Alex.
Alex. Okay. Alex, and then just real quick, can you just briefly describe me the overall condition of the property just through, you know, 30 seconds to a minute?
Yeah, I mean, it's in okay shape. I mean, I'll be honest with you. This is a house that's been in my family for years. I recently had, my mother passed away not too long ago. And so the house is, she had it rented to some people and I haven't even been in contact with them. So, it's been a while since I see the house, but from what I gather, it's in livable condition. But you know, I haven't seen it in a while. I mean, I don't live in town. So, this is a house that now my sister and I are just trying to figure out. Do we want to fix this thing up ourselves if it does need repairs or if we just want to sell it? You know, we weren't thinking of selling it, but again, we keep getting all these postcards.
Sure, sure. So it seems like, you know, you're not really in a rush to get rid of this property at all, obviously.
No, not really. I'm really just more curious what I have no idea what the properties are going for in the area. I know it's a hot market from what I hear, but
sure.
But, you know, just trying to figure out what this is, how this all works.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we definitely don't buy every house we see. I'm just trying to get a couple questions out of you just to see if there's something we can remotely do. I definitely can't promise you we can buy this property. And, I mean, I'm assuming the property's got no mortgage on it, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. This house is been my family 30 something years and it's owned free and clear.
Awesome. Awesome. So you said in the beginning, you got our postcard in the mail. You're interested in an offer. I mean, before you even got that postcard, were you interested in selling this property or you got our postcard and you just say, hey, why does this guy keep mailing me? Like, did you even think about selling your property before you called or that postcard just making you think?
No. Okay. Yeah. It's just because I've received so many of them. I'm starting to think if a lot of people wanted, it must be really valuable. And so,
Yeah, no, I get it. That makes sense. I mean, listen, I mean, I want to respect your time, Alex. And I mean, you know, before you got the postcard, I mean, you really weren't even thinking about selling your property. So I'm not sure if it even makes sense if you sell this thing. I mean, I told you in the beginning what I can do for you in terms of the next step. And if you're really looking to get an offer on your property, we could schedule a time to have someone on our team come out, look at the property and then give you a 100% cash offer. But my gut's telling me that that's probably not going to work for you.
I mean, no, I'd like to find out what you guys can offer for the property. Sure. Sure. What's the process like? You said somebody in your team, so I wouldn't be meeting with you?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. I mean, you know, so we have a company where we, you know, we have about 5 or 6 people that work for us. So if you were looking to get an offer on your house, and like I said, it seems like that may not be the case here. We just have one of our home buying specialists come out to the property and meet with you in person. What would happen is basically that whole meeting takes about 30 minutes to an hour. They're just going to tour the property. They're going to look at all the rooms and make sure, you know, they have their repair estimates, you know, kind of written down. And then after that, they'll have a quick conversation with you and then they can answer any questions you may have. And at the end of that meeting, you'll know exactly to the penny what the offer would be. And hey, if the offer works, great. We can talk about moving it forward. And I just don't want you to, you know, there's no pressure at these appointments. So if the offer doesn't work, it's 100% okay to give our sales team a no. And I promise it won't hurt anyone's feelings.
Okay. Okay. So you wouldn't be able to tell me, I'm sorry, you said your name is?
My name is Greg.
Okay. Greg. So you wouldn't be able to just kind of give me an idea of what you could pay for the property?
Yeah. I mean, we could. I mean, I just have a quick question for you regarding on what you really want from us. I mean, do you want just an offer on your property, or do you want our best offer on your property?
No, I mean, yeah, I definitely want your, I mean, look, in all honesty, my sister and I weren't thinking about selling this, but if we are, I want to make as much as we can from it. I'd want your best.
Sure. So, I want to really respect your time and make sure that we can really potentially help you if there's something we can help with. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. So if you really want our best offer, it's going to make the most sense for you to just meet with one of our home buying specialists so we can just see the house, assess it, and then make the most intelligent offer, we can make on that property. And like I said, if the offer doesn't work for you, 100% okay, you can give our home buying specialist the no, won't hurt our feelings one bit. We definitely don't buy every house we walk into.
Okay. That makes sense. First of all, to be honest, I got to find out if this property is still rented or if it's vacant, but I mean, either way I have a key to the property. Sure. I could probably show it to you guys tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you want, I can have my home buying specialist, Rick, come meet you at the house tomorrow. Hey, if 12 o'clock works, we could pencil it in for 12. Like I said, just how those meetings go. I mean, about 30 minutes to an hour, we're going to do a quick tour of the property. We have a few questions for you. You can ask us any questions. And at the end of that meeting, if we can offer on the property, you will know exactly what our offer is going to be. And then either way, you can let us know what you'd like to do. Yes is fine. No is okay too.
Okay, that works. So I'm good for 12 tomorrow.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you then.
Okay, have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Okay, perfect. So, Greg, that was awesome, man. Here's what I'd like to do. Let's spend a little bit of time, maybe 5 minutes or so, if you can kind of break down the process and the framework that you followed there. And then what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to break this up into a two-part episode where on the next episode, we're going to actually do an in-person face-to-face appointment. We're going to do like a mock role play, but in face. And then one of the things that Greg and his team have gotten really good at is just marketing, but more specifically like outbound cold calling. And so that's one of the things that we're going to cover in part two. So yeah, Greg, how does that sound, man? If we do a little bit of a breakdown on just how that call went, and then we can circle back and get into the face-to-face and some of the outbound cold calling in part two.
That sounds great.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. So yeah, walk us through. I mean, obviously the situation was pretty evident. I inherited a property. It's been in my family for years. I didn't know much about it as far as condition or if it was even rented. My mom had passed away. So walk people listening through the process, because it sounded like it was very natural for you. But of course, because I know you were following a specific process.
Yeah. So with that lead, that's a pretty plain Jane lead. I mean, most of the leads you're going to get are going to be people just calling up, oh, I got your letter in the mail or whatever, saw your sign, whatever. They're going to act like they don't need to sell their house. But the first thing you always got to think about the seller. There's a reason they're calling you on your letter, because if direct mail is 0.5% and most people throw it out, there's got to be some type of reason in the back of that person's head. They're not throwing that postcard in the trash. So you always got to, if someone doesn't sound motivated on the phone, that doesn't mean they're truly unmotivated. I mean, sometimes they are just looking for an offer, but a lot of the times there's something lingering way under the surface that enticed them to call you. So the first thing I did with you when you called in is I set the expectations of what's going to happen on that phone call. It's called an advanced agreement, or setting the stage. So first thing I did was we got into how long is that call going to take? Do you have the time available to speak to me? So, hey, this will take 5 or 10 minutes. I was just making sure you had that time available to speak. Mm-hmm. Because if that person is calling from work and they can't speak to me for 5 or 10 minutes, I can't take them through my correct sales process, and it's going to feel like a waste of time for everyone. And then they're going to be uncomfortable on the phone because they got, their boss is screaming at them to go back to the office.
Yep.
So I set the time frame with you. I told you, exactly on that call what was going to happen. Hey, you probably have some questions for me. You're probably wondering what I can offer for the house. Why are you mailing me? So I'm trying to mind read you. I'm saying, hey, you probably got these questions for me. Is that right? And you said, yeah, I do. Okay, great. I have a few questions for you about the property. So I'm setting the agenda, which is the second part of the advance agreement. The agenda, we're going to ask each other some questions. And the third part of the advance agreement is the next outcome. So every sales call, there's always got to be a next outcome. So I said, hey, at the end of this call, Alex, one of two things is going to happen. We are going to decide that it makes sense to take the next step, and I will let you know exactly what that next step is at the end of this call, or we're going to decide that this is not going to make any sense, and we'll end this call and we'll part ways, and no harm, no sweat. So I basically took your guard down before we even got into the sales call, because a lot of these people are very, they're very reluctant to call investors because they think it's, what is this, a scam? And you set those expectations up front, so they know exactly what's going to go on during that sales call, so you can qualify that client in the most effective way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You're disarming them right off the bat. Because these people, a lot of times, you know, these people, they have their guard up. You know, they're very, like you said, they're reluctant, but they're like, they're curious, but they're kind of like, who is this person? And so it's almost, I don't want to say combative, but sometimes it can be. And so you got to just get that white elephant or that pink elephant completely out of the room.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to disarm them, because at that point, they're number one, you're building trust and credibility in their brain, because it sounds like they're talking to a professional. And they're basically, you're mind reading them. They have questions. You're telling them that they probably, you're saying that they probably have the questions that they're thinking, if that made any sense.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I do. My goodness. And then at the end of it, you're saying, hey, we're going to know what's going to go on after this call. And if it makes sense to move forward or not, 100% okay. And you're giving them autonomy, right? You're letting them know that they can say no. And people love no, because no gives them that real freedom and comfort. And you can get a lot of the good motivation out once you kind of go for that no.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So the first part was the advanced agreement, time frame, agenda, and outcome, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the three things you got to cover on advanced agreements.
And then what was the next part of the sales process that you took me through there?
So basically that was an inbound lead. So depending on your business model, if you're, you know, just getting that lead to set the appointment, you know, the next outcome is, you know, what we just did. We set the appointment because I really wanted to see, because, you know, I the first thing I did on you was I really wanted to see if you were a legitimate lead or not. And what I started doing was I started going negative on you. So I started basically using some reverse psychology to see if you were actually someone who I could potentially do business with, who's someone's problem I can potentially solve. So I kept saying, yeah, it doesn't seem like you're in a rush. Are you looking for our best offer? I mean, it doesn't seem like you really need to sell it. And you're like, yeah, but you know, I kind of want to get rid of this thing. I inherited the house. And I just started to act a little less interested than you.
Yeah.
To really see if it made sense for you to do business with me. Because if I start saying, hey, Alex, man, I think this is a complete waste of time. I really think that I know you're calling and you want an offer, but you know, something's telling me that you're just looking for an offer. And really before you got our letter, you weren't even looking to sell the house. And I started kind of pulling back from you on purpose to see what you were going to do. And you started kind of pulling towards me. Right. So, yep. You were like, no, but I want to, you know, sell the house and get an offer. And then I wanted to really get you, I wanted to try to close you to get that appointment. So I said, hey, listen, you know, people want offers from us all the freaking time, but I just got a question. Are you looking for just an offer or do you want our best offer?
I love that.
So I said, you want my best offer? And you said, yes. So I said, okay, I want to respect your time. I want to make this worth your time. If you want our best offer, I really think it makes sense for us to have someone on our team come out and look at the property. And then once I tried to get you to commit to the appointment, I did another advance agreement with you saying, hey, because a lot of people get overwhelmed when you have to have some salesperson come to their house. So I'm like, hey, this is exactly what's going to happen. You're going to meet with a home buying specialist. They're going to take about 30 minutes off of your time, maybe an hour. They're going to look at the house and then they're going to give you an offer. So they know when we send our sales guy out there, what's going to happen. So there's no fear. And that's what I did. And basically we took that inbound lead. We did a little bit of qualifying. And then one more thing I asked you was I said, hey, I'm assuming you don't have a mortgage on the property. And that's called a takeaway, because I made a statement and then you're either going to confirm me or correct me. Mm-hmm. And you actually confirmed me. You said, yeah, I don't have a mortgage on the property. So now I know that's a qualified client. You had that as equity, because a lot of the times when you just say, hey, Rick, do you have a mortgage on your house? He's going to say, that's none of your business. So when you say, hey, Rick, obviously this thing's free and clear. He's either going to say, yeah, you're right. Or he's going to say, oh, nope, I got a mortgage. It's 100 grand. So it's a very easy way to ask for equity without ever getting somebody upset.
Sure. And by the way, obviously you can do the same thing with price, right? I know you didn't ask me about price, but that you could use Absolutely. The same approach when trying to find out what the seller wants or where their mind is at, right?
100%. You could say, yeah, you're probably looking to get 200K for this house. Oh, no, I want 100. Oh, okay. And then all of a sudden they just told you the price without you even asking them.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Okay. And then, so you use the, you use the advanced agreement at the end, you kind of previewed what's to come so that now you're taking their guard down even further, right? Because now, okay, well, it's going to take half an hour to an hour. You know, I'm going to show the person the house and then I'm going to get the best offer essentially.
Exactly. I just set those expectations one more time. You can use advanced agreements, you know, 5-6 times in a sales call. You just want to make sure that you're the biggest thing with the advance agreement, honestly, is that you're getting a yes or no decision at the end of that sales appointment. Like, so if it makes sense to move forward to an appointment, great. If it doesn't make sense, no sweat, but we're going to call it a no. The last thing you want is like people saying, I got to call you back. I got to think it over. Oh, I got to talk to my CPA. Like, you just want a yes or a no, and a no is 100% fine.
Yep. Got it. Well, beautiful, man. So I think this is probably a good place to break, as far as, you know, part one here. And so, what we're going to do, guys, is make sure that you tune in for part two. Depending on when you're listening to this, it may already be released, or maybe it's coming here in about a week or so, where part two, we're going to now build on, you know, we set this appointment for noon the next day. And so Greg is going to come to the property. Again, I don't live there. It's a property. We're just going to assume it's vacant. And so now, you know, I'm going to show him through the property. We're going to do the kind of a mock role play. And then we're going to sit down at the kitchen table. There's a little desk and a table there. And we're going to figure this thing out. And then that way, Greg will show you the sales process he follows at the actual appointment face to face. Okay. So, and guys, if you want more of this type of content, I definitely want to encourage you as well to listen to the episode I did with John Martinez. If you guys go to flipempire.com/episode78, you'll be able to, you know, to listen to John walk through this same process. And, it's crazy, Greg, 'cause listening to you, man, it's like, you have your own style, but it's following exactly what John teaches it, which is, it's crazy, dude. I mean, I don't want to call you a mini John, because you definitely have your own flavor and your style. And I think that's what makes you so effective.
Thank you. Yeah. So, it's just following the content. It's just following the system. And you know, it's more of the concepts you want to have in the pillars of sales. It's like the wording is always different for everyone and their personality, but it's understanding the concepts and understanding like the steps in the system that really make it effective.
Yep. Exactly. Okay, cool, man. All right, guys. So do me a favor, like reach out to us. Let us know what you thought of this particular episode. If you have any questions, we're going to mention Greg's, where you guys can connect with Greg. It'll be in the show notes page here. But Greg, where can people reach out to you, man? I know you mentioned a couple different places as far as Instagram and your company website, if you want to go ahead and mention those now.
Yeah, probably the best way. Social media, my favorite one is Instagram. So you can follow me at Grego, Grego_37. So that's once again, Grego_37. I try to put out, you know, 5 to 6 stories a day. Facebook.com/Greg Helbeck, I think, or just search my name, Greg Helbeck, on Facebook. You can check our real estate company out at velocityhousebuyers.com. And then the sales training stuff, we have some information on some sales training at MidwestRev.com.
Beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, guys, all this information will be in the show notes page. And I definitely want to encourage you to tune in for part two of this, where we kind of get, you know, just we're going to deep dive more this type of stuff. And now we're going to do a face to face mock role play. So, Greg, I appreciate you, buddy. Stick around, because we're definitely coming back for part two here.
Awesome.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.